Welcome to another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you'd like more information or sermons, visit www.brotherjimshaw.org. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for more contact information. And now, here's Brother Jim Shaw.
You know, to survive it and get to the kingdom in this world, because it's a fight and it's a path and it's a journey and it's a way. Jesus is the way. We can't go on our own human reasoning. In our own human reasoning, regardless of how good it is or how intelligent it is or how much reason it makes, on occasion, is not going to make any reasoning in God's world. And I want to read a verse to you in Matthew 17, verse 21. And this is Peter talking to Jesus. And of course, Peter loves Jesus. He's been with him for probably 2.5 years. He forsook everything for him. But I want to read you here where human reasoning didn't work. From that time forth, Jesus, to show up to his disciples, he began how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raise again the third day. So he's telling his disciples, this is what's going to happen to me, guys. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. There's going to be this crowd here loaded with, knowledgeable, educated, friendly, nice people called the elders and the chief priests and the educated scribes. There's going to be all these nice people, all these good people, and they're going to kill me. But I'll raise myself up on the third day. Here we go. But then Peter took him. He actually grabbed him, if you could get the visual. He takes Peter. Peter takes Jesus. I could just see him grabbing him by the shoulders and began to rebuke him. Imagine this. Peter was rebuking the almighty word of God. Everything that Jesus said was truth. And Peter's human reasoning did not like it. Because what natural mind would want their leader to be killed? It's only natural to defend people that you love. But yet here's Peter grabbing Jesus, rebuking him for what he just said. And what Peter told Jesus, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Listen to those words. This is very, very important. Peter told Jesus, after Jesus said he was going to have to die on a cross, Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Pay close attention. This is the first statement Jesus made after that. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan had gotten into Peter's words through human reasoning. Jesus looked at Peter, one of his main apostles, if not the main one, and referred to him as Satan. After those words came out of Peter's mouth, a natural, common sense, reasonable statement to a man, but not to God. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest. Not the things that are of God, but those that are of men. You can't mix mankind with God. You can't mix man's comforts, man's desires, man's sexual desires, man's conquests with the things of God. Everything that we can see with our mind, taste, touch, smell, feel, and hear are the things of this world and are going to end in the grave. They aren't the things of God. And Jesus was looking at Peter, but he said, get behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me and savorest not the things that be of God, but those of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, very important, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So he was basically doubling down on what he already said. He said, I got to go to Jerusalem. The elders, the Pharisees, the scribes are going to kill me. And then Peter jumps in and says, no, Lord, no, Lord. And Jesus says, Satan, shut up. Get behind me. And then Jesus goes on to say, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. You're going to have to deny all your urges, all your fleshly ambitions, all your accomplishments, all your comforts, all your sensuality, your family, everybody and everything to follow Christ. And here's the thing. You can have all those and still follow Christ. Just as long at any second, if they were to be taken away, they wouldn't get a hold of you. And you would just say, let God's will be done. Job was pretty good at this. It took a lot to break Job. It took a lot. God took away absolutely everything. And God had Job stuck with it. And even his own wife said, curse God and die. But then eventually, towards the end, Job broke. And he said, God, why am I even alive? Why was I even born? And God got in Job's face. He said, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I made the waters to go up to the seasides and only go so far and back and forth? Where were you when I hung the sun in the sky? So God's in control, gang. No matter how ugly the scenario might get, you know, for us. I'm talking about as Christians. Because we're living in an evil world with evil countries. Evil countries, evil religions. Everything is evil outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if someone has never heard about Jesus, it tells us in the book of Romans, they'll be judged by the Lord for their own account because they do have a conscience. But if anybody has heard the word of God and knows anything about the escape, it's actually better, according to the word of God, if they didn't hear it than to hear it and go against it. So to whom much is given, much is expected. So if you've been listening to God, listening to tapes, going to church, man, I just hope it isn't in the book. And I hope it isn't between those church walls. And I hope it's every day, everywhere, every how that you are denying yourself. And a big thing about it, men, talking about men and women, is sex. You know that. Everywhere Paul went, sex, sex, sex. He kept talking about fornicators, lasciviousness, adulterers, all sexual diseases, all sexual sins. You know, that would be like the devil, to attack the thing where the Lord uses mankind to procreate itself. You have to hold yourself under submission. And sexual sins, we're even told, we can't fight them. We're told to flee from them. You know, don't go to the places where all you see is cleavage left and right. Shut your eyes. Turn your head. Put your body under subjection. You have to. Put your body under subjection and don't put yourself in places where discernment takes place. You're going to be tempted. Avoid it. Avoid it. Flee it. Run from it. Yes, the natural world affects the spiritual world and vice versa. We're in a fight, gang. We're in a war. We're in a battle. And the Lord told us, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we have to walk the way of Jesus Christ. That's picking up your cross. The only thing a cross is good for is to die on and suffer on. And you might go through suffering, forgiving somebody that you don't want to forgive. All right? You might have to turn ahead and wash your mind with the word of God continually if lustful, disgusting thoughts from Satan come bombarding you. And I think people have to hear that. A lot of these disgusting thoughts, you could have done something 30 years ago, and it seems like you just did it 2 minutes ago. Why is that thought so vivid in your memory when it took place so long ago? Why? Because Satan was right there, and he took spiritual videos of it, and he tries to put it in your head from time to time. Beware of this stuff. And one evil thought will jump into another one and another one. That's what we're told, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You think he said that just some nice religious cliche? No, you have to take these thoughts captive. That's a warfare term. Verse 25 of Matthew 17, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You know, your flesh nature is going to want to save itself. That's actually what they told Jesus to do on the cross. He was hanging there. The people that spit on him made fun of him. Oh, he saved others. Why can't he save himself? Save yourself and come off that cross. No, the only way he was going to save our souls was to stay on that cross and give up the ghost. He was every bit flesh on that cross. He didn't use the power of God to get off of that cross. He suffered through it for you and for I. And the precursor of that was the garden where he sweat blood. And then Jesus puts a little bit of spiritual reasoning into the equation. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there is some standing here which shall not taste of death till they shall see the Son of Man coming in to his kingdom. And there were apostles that did see the Savior go right up into the air with the angels. And the angels did tell those apostles that he is coming back. And that's what we hold fast to now. But what does it matter if we gain all this world? And we're finding out, gang, the party's about over. Because there's not much to gain in this world. They're putting us in a corner. Yes, they are. And as I said in a sermon previously, there's new weaponry. For all we know, we're in a war right now, a biological war. A war not with rocks, clubs, staffs, swords, guns, or bombs. But a war that's actually in our minds and in our brains, through our blood system. Yes, nanotechnology. Get your head out of the sand. These are realities. These are the worlds we're living in. Just as crazy as the invention of the radio or the invention of TV or the invention of the car. No, this nanotechnology is something different because it comes inside the temple. It's not outside the temple attacking you like music or the movies or dress or education. No, it's actually coming into the temple to kill you and destroy you. Bear down, Christian. The days are short. It actually says in the last days, Jesus is going to find any flesh alive. If he didn't show up, there would be no flesh, it said. It's going to get really bad. It's going to get crazy bad. It actually says, you know, when Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun, but Jesus comes. And he actually said, during the end times, there's going to be such destruction, such tribulation as there was never been. So this is an exception. Yes, there's been tribulation and destruction before, but never like this is going to be. And it could be a gigantic deception, just like the destruction in the Garden of Eden. That was the biggest destruction, gang, getting thrown out of the garden. And all they had to be was obedient. But the deceiver came at him with deceptive reasoning. Oh, it's good for you. It'll make you smart. You'll become a god. No. God gave them the commandment, do not. And they should have not done it. Stay in Christ. The gate is narrow. Few are going to find it. Let's be part of that few. We want our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
You've been listening to Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you would like more information or sermons, we can be reached at www.brotherjimshaw.org. That's www.brotherjimshaw.org. Or write to P.O. Box 690492, Vero Beach, Florida. You can also call 717-451-9767. Again, 717-451-9767. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time for another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. To view more messages on Brother Jim's YouTube page, please visit www.brotherjimshaw.org.